I am excited about today, as most everybody here is excited or going to be excited very shortly. Governor, I would not have thought it possible that we could make such a turnaround in 1 year. And we're in the black for the first time in 3 years. Our bottom line is the best that it's been in 5 years, and we actually have a true surplus. And that's one thing that I began reporting several years ago in our citizens report to the citizens on the state's finances. Now, I did extract a page from our new citizens report, which, by the way, will be available on Friday, we hope. And so this is what most of you have in your hand, I hope. This shows the surplus, the true surplus, and the payment delays. And you can see that we have closed the gap between the surplus and the true surplus, and that is a gap that has continued to grow over the past four years, consecutive years. I think this is a very impressive and noteworthy thing, because when you consider that the overall revenues have only grown by 5.5% over the last year, that is really very modest revenue growth when you compare it with 2003, 4, and 5 fiscal years. Yet in those years, we did not experience the forward progress that we have under the governor in this fiscal year. And I think that's to the fiscal common sense that you demonstrate and work with, and also the tight and balanced budget. When payment delays started back in fiscal year 2002, I really never thought that, I thought it would be years and years before those payment delays were ever paid off, if ever. Coming from local government, I thought, oh, this is never going to happen. I was so joyous, so happy, when in February you gave me the orders to write a check for $156.4 million to our K-12 schools to begin paying down that debt. And now that we have a surplus over and above what the debt is to our local governments and the $50 million loan, we will continue, I'm sure, to pay off those debts. And so congratulations to you for all the hard work and the fiscal conservatism.
Well, Connie, thanks to you, and thanks for 8 years of great service to the state, honest and accurate reporting. It's had a lot to do, I think, with our ability to persuade people that we really had to act boldly to get the state back in responsible position. And you should feel a lot of satisfaction. Good policy starts with good information, and you've always given the citizens of Indiana that. I'll sum up a lot of data in a very few sentences. We're pleased today to be able to announce that for the first time in 8 years, the state of Indiana has a balanced budget. In the year just completed, the state government took in more in revenue than it spent. For the first time in 3 years, as Connie just said, we are solvent in the sense that our cash on hand exceeds our debts, those debts which were coercively borrowed or imposed on schools, local governments, and universities. For the first time in 10 years, the state's cash balance by itself exceeds $1 billion. And so this is dramatic progress. The results we are announcing today are more than $500 million better than the budget projected when the legislature passed it last year. I want to thank the legislature, first of all, for passing the tightest budget in 55 years. That was the essential starting point to this achievement. I want to thank the cabinet and all the people who came to state government, brought a more businesslike outlook, have been looking every day for ways to save taxpayer dollars. Without their administration, taxpayer-friendly administration of government, we wouldn't be where we are today. I do want to emphasize that our work is far, far from over. We will not rest until we have paid off those debts, which I think should never have been incurred, from local government and our schools. And we have to restore the rainy day funds. The true surplus Connie talks about at over $400 million is a huge improvement, but not good enough to protect Indiana against ever going back in the red. So it'll take steady, consistent fiscal discipline of the kind that Indiana has just shown in the last year. But we're determined to do that, and we ask our fellow citizens to support us in so doing. We are looking at that. Because we are in this unexpectedly a stronger position, it certainly becomes an option. I want to point out that with the legislature's encouragement, we are already scheduled to pay universities and local governments $100+ million later in this new fiscal year. And your question's a good one because, being so far ahead of schedule, it does give us, we think, new flexibility, and we're looking at that this very day.
Governor, where could be the, well, some of people might say, hey, the state has some hard financial times, but things are better. Where's the restraint to fight the impulses made for people to spend more money? Like, hey, we're all very clear, it's
Well, I hope no one will make that argument or feel that way. As I just said, we've made dramatic progress, probably better than any of us thought possible, but we're coming out of a deep hole, and we've got a long way to go. The essence, the secret, no great secret, of what has been achieved in this first year is spending restraint. Spending grew at less than 2% in Indiana. Again, tightest budget in 55 years, and then spending was reduced by more than half a point below what was budgeted for. And we have to continue that. As Connie just pointed out, there was no great gusher like the late 90s of revenue. Other states have experienced much higher revenue growth than Indiana has. We're about a point ahead of what was forecast, but that's all. So we cannot count on any situation that would allow us to resume the big spending ways of the past, and much of that spending should never have occurred in the first place. It wasn't well spent.
That being the case, you're proposing full day kindergarten for next year's legislature. How does that reconcile with that?
We just ran a surplus this year of $371 million. That sets a good base for next year. And again, assuming we control spending on other items, we'll have a multiple of the $100 to $140 million that full day kindergarten is estimated to cost, depending how the legislature agrees to do it. So education will be the, as we always said it must be, the first beneficiary of fiscal responsibility. But it is clear to me that we can continue balanced budgets, larger surpluses, and still fund this top priority of full-day kindergarten, provided we maintain discipline in lesser priority areas.
Yesterday, Speaker Bosma failed to endorse full-day kindergarten, instead seemed to lean toward the old Maury Mills
No, there are a lot of ways to provide full-day kindergarten and more early education in Indiana, and we'll visit with the legislature about various approaches, various glide paths. I personally do favor getting there quickly and making it available to every Indiana school child, but I know there are slightly different points of view, and we'll work with those who hold them.
Governor, besides full-day kindergarten, what does balancing the books mean to the average citizen out there? Does it take, in the foreseeable future, any tax increases off the table? I mean, what's the significance to the average Joe out there?
Well, please notice that this progress was achieved without a tax increase. And incidentally, I know you all understand it, but some may not, has nothing at all to do with major moves or the $4 billion the state received. That's in a trust fund, has nothing to do, not one penny of this progress had anything to do with that. And it's important that the public know that what I think this means to the average citizen is that government can work, government need not be out of control. And that if you pay very close attention every day to the little things as well as the big things, if you have the support of a legislature which takes the job of balancing budgets seriously, you can conduct the public's business responsibly. But it also means that vigilance must be eternal. It's very easy to slip into the red, and very hard to get back to solvency once you have. My only concern about this great news is that, as a previous question suggested, people will say, hey, let's relax, let the good times roll, let's spend on everybody's favorite project. And that would be a terrible mistake. We've got more work to do.
Governor, you said without a tax increase, critics, and many of them before today, have said this budget didn't raise taxes by the state, it passed the buck to local communities, and they in turn raised taxes.
Yeah.
How do you answer those critics?
It was false when they said it, and it's now been proven false. Property taxes went down in Indiana this year. There were projections, fabrications, really, that they'd go up by a billion. They went down between 1% and 2%. I want to say that some credit for that does go to local government, which has been showing some spending restraint of its own, and that's a very important part of this puzzle. But, you know, it was a bogus argument when it was made, and it's bogus now. This progress is real. It's dramatic. And it's a cause for celebration.
Governor, I see that revenues came in about $350 million more than we expected. What else did you guys do as an administration to fill the rest of the gap?
Well, once again, we started with the tightest budget in 55 years. It projected to cut spending from an average rate in recent years of around 6% down to about 2.5%. And then, again, I want to give credit to everyone else but me, all the people in our cabinet and sub-cabinet positions. They accepted guidance from the budget office of reducing those budgets by at least about 8% each, and some of them exceeded that. I don't want to leave anybody out, but corrections did a terrific job, and the Department of Labor did a terrific job. Again, it's very important. Of course, it's important to concentrate on the big spending items, but you only get progress like this if you look in every corner, and even some of the smallest agencies contributed very substantially based on what they had to work with, and that has to continue. And we have it's clear to us that we have only begun to find ways in which you can get better service from the same amount of tax dollars or even fewer.
Governor, some of the property budgets in the county have been some federal mandates like Medicaid that just keep growing and growing, and there were efforts in this budget to bring that in. The federal judge recently said, you know, you threw off a lot of people who shouldn't have them. You need to put those back on.
Mm-hmm.
Are you concerned, I guess, about that now, even though you made this privacy, that's going to come back on the table, that's going to grow, and next year we're back dealing with the same growing Medicaid problem?
Well, that one decision, as I understand it, the agency was trying to comply with HHS rules that we found when we arrived. In any event, whether those folks do or don't finally come back on the rolls, it's an incidental event fiscally. It doesn't amount to a lot of money. Now, Medicaid is an important question, though, because Medicaid in toto has been what's wrecked other states. It's been the biggest enemy of public education in many states. It's devoured the money that folks would rather have spent on their schools. Indiana was already in a little better shape when we got here. But the growth rate was 12%, unsustainable. It's been brought down to 5 or a little bit less. And we've got to keep looking for ways to provide for the health needs of low-income people and children, but not in a way that, again, that consumes dollars that we also need for the education of our children and other important purposes.
Now that you've got major moves, Honda, balanced budget, looks like you're going to be tackling education. What's left for you guys to do?
Yeah. Well, honestly, I think we've just begun to make a start. You've identified our top priorities, of course, restoring fiscal responsibility and taxpayer protection in Indiana, building the Indiana economy, strengthening public education. But we have only begun in these areas, and tons more to do. But I will add to your list health care, specifically the health status of Hoosiers. We've made anywhere near the kind of progress I want to make there, and that's an area we're looking at hard for an initiative next year.
Can you give us a specific, other than, we've all heard about full-day kindergarten, a specific program that now that there's a little flexibility in the budget you'd like to look at?
Well, let's not overlook, in terms of education, Connie's point that until we've paid back our schools, I feel that we have not done well by them. I personally believe that money should never have been taken from them, and in essence, the state should never have stolen their interest. State got an interest-free loan. They had to go borrow money, as did local government, while they waited for the check to come. So I consider that an extremely high priority. I just mentioned health status. There are other things in education I think it's a little early to talk about. We're visiting with members of the legislature. But I would just say that my thoughts tend to concentrate on on low-income citizens, the achievement gap, and early education, which, of course, full-day kindergarten gets at.
How about textbooks?
Certainly would be on my list. I've talked about it before. Again, it's important to take these things in a step-by-step fashion. We're in the black. We must never go back. And we'll take a look at any idea, however good, with fiscal responsibility in mind.
Does your administration have any plans, say the next year or so, deal with a big issue that's affecting a lot of local governments, which is foreclosures and abandoned homes, because they go right to the heart of property taxes, which is how a lot of local governments pay for services? Do something with that to get to the root of that problem?
The same answer I'd give if you'd asked a slightly different question, and that is that the best housing program, the best social program, the best education program is always a growing economy. And that'll be the work, as we always say, of many, many years, but there have been some good steps lately, and that'll remain our top priority along with fiscal responsibility to the last day of this job.
Does Indiana have any room for a tax cut?
Too soon to address that question. I think that between the spending reduction that we have made, spending restraint we have brought to bear here, and on the gas tax side, the major move's success, while other states will probably be raising gas taxes to maintain their roads, we won't be doing that, I guarantee you. I think that the first step was to absolutely foreclose any need or possibility of a tax increase in Indiana. But again, let's take it one step at a time. Our work is not done here, and it's too soon for balloons and champagne.
Need revenues too.
That's right.
You said foreclose the possibility of any tax increase. Would you not again seek a cigarette tax increase?
Well, good question. And I said when I proposed it before, I see this in an utterly different category. It has nothing to do. It won't be about the finances of the state, which we have balanced without it. It would be about using the money to improve the health of Hoosiers. And I see this very specifically as a health step. I presented it that way in this year. I would in any future year. You saw that smoking not only is too high, but actually clicked up in Indiana, which is a terrible piece of data. And we've got to work on that. And there's no more direct way to work on it than to make this self-destructive habit more expensive.
So to be clear, you're leaving that possibility open?
I'm sorry?
To be clear, you're leaving that one tax increase possibility open?
Yes, absolutely.
So should people start calling you the blade again?
Well, I'm just going to say again, the credit for this achievement belongs first of all to a legislature which did the right thing, but a hard thing, and took some grief for it. Those who voted yes passed the tightest budget in 55 years. Secondly, to appointees, many of them, most of them, brand new to government, who came in and have worked every day to find ways to save tax dollars beyond that. And if there are people deserving of nicknames around, I guess it'd be all of them. I'll just say that, again, since I don't think that this cost should ever have been imposed on our schools, universities, and local governments, I do assign very high priority to reducing it to zero and then putting the state in position so it never is tempted to go raid our schools again. And that may take a little while, but yes, it's a very high priority of mine and Connie's and I think all friends of good fiscal practice. No, I mean, we're ahead of schedule, I think, beyond anything that was forecast. That was in part due to the fourfold success of tax amnesty was allowed us to pay back the first half to schools. And now that we're ahead of the game, we're certainly looking at accelerating repayment. But as in terms of how long it will take to get there, I'm not yet sure.
Yeah, some
that's good question. That's correct. There is some ambiguity around that. There are different ways we can do it, we've been studying that issue. I just want to say that if we decide, as we well may, that we have the wherewithal to do it, then I want to do it right away. Again, I think it was wrong to withhold these funds in the first place. Every day that goes by, school districts are paying interest that they shouldn't have to pay. While they wait for the overdue check, and we may have to find an approach to do it that fits within the authority we have, but we think there are a couple of choices there.
I noticed that you're making, you've been told, a slightly different announcement tomorrow. You're not going to decide that part as soon as tomorrow, are you?
We well might. Again, these data just came in, and we've been scrubbing them to make sure they were accurate and final, and now we're literally yesterday and today studying the question of whether we can take a next step, but I'm not certain.
But since you've already scheduled those stops, I mean, can we not presume that the decision's already been made?
You can't presume that, because I was going to make those stops anyway. I wanted to visit each city I could. Becky, as I said, is visiting others. This is important news. We think every Hoosier's a taxpayer. And every Hoosier knows that we went from surplus to deficit, and I want people to understand there's been some progress and why, and that the job's not over. So I'm going to take that message around tomorrow as well as today. If we do make the decision you're asking about, then that'll be part of tomorrow. If not, it'll come when it comes.
How much do you think we should have as a true surplus? How much should be in
rainy day funds? Well, I've looked over the last two or three years at what is recommended by state budget officers. There are two or three places. Generally, I see recommendations in the 6 to 12% reserve, you would say. And so at $400 million, roughly, of true, to use Connie's excellent phrase, true surplus, you know, that's only about 2.5%. About 3 plus, a little over 3 percent of a state budget. Clearly that's not enough. And that's a good way of illustrating that we do have some further distance to go. I by nature, conservative about these things, I would want to err toward the higher end of the range. I would want to see, I would like to turn over to whoever follows me a budget that's not only in balance, but a surplus that is at the higher end of the range, so Indiana's better protected than other states, maybe better protected than in the past. I'd rather be very careful about that.
Is it appropriate then to go ahead and spend money on things like full-day kindergarten, which is a pretty expensive and ongoing program?
Only if you think you can also achieve our fiscal goals too, which I believe, based on what we see now, we can. Once again, the cost of a full-day kindergarten is, roughly a third of the surplus we just ran in this year. It should be less than that of the surplus in next year. But we'll approach it very carefully. And again, there are ways to phase in if we decide that a little caution is in order.
If Democrats get the House back in November, how confident are you that when you sit across the table from Pat Bauer and negotiate a budget, that the green on the chart will stay as much green as you have?
Well, it'll be harder. You know, they prefer more spending. Honestly, that's their point of view. They spent at 6% even when the state didn't have it. And they were harshly critical of those who passed this budget because they didn't spend more money. But, I hope that this story again, and I hope that there will be support in the Indiana public. Having climbed out of the hole, I can show you quotes where Pat said, we're in a deep hole, don't know how to get out. Now that we're out, I would hope that the public would send a clear message that, let's not go back to the old ways, and let's not slip back into the red.
May I say something?
Please.
Like when we had the $2 billion surplus and we began to see in 1999, in December of 1999, it slip away, and we continue to spend.
Yeah.
And so hopefully that's a lesson learned.
Well, can you address the fact that part of that spending was a Republican-controlled Senate all those years?
I think I'd just say they tried to serve as a break on the process, but they weren't in charge. Yeah, good question. All that is included here is what was in the budget. The budget forecasters in the legislative services thought that tax amnesty would bring in $65 million. That's what went in the budget. That's all that's here. The entire overage is not here. It was simply, you can think of that as a balance sheet item. It did not contribute to this improvement. It did, however, contribute to the reduction of the debt because we took essentially that whole overage and began the repayment to schools.
So that would be, it sounds like, appropriate here because that's taking away some of the liability?
Yes, that's correct.
On a different subject, are you going to move into the governor's residence in August and will you live there full time?
Well, we won't live there full time, but we will move in, treat it as our official residence. We'll entertain there and I'm sure make it available to other Hoosiers who might want to have events for charity or other purposes there. It's been a longer and tougher project than we thought, but I guess that's not uncommon with older properties. And the more folks look, the more things they found to fix. But it's coming along well, and I think what is clear is that we're certainly going to leave a facility that's in great shape and should serve the next couple generations of governors very, very well.
With all the attention you're giving these numbers, have you been able to look at Bureau of Motor Vehicle? When you talk about an agency that touches every Hoosier, right now they don't like the way they're getting touched with the computer system that's down.
Well, this computer system had to be fixed if you wanted fraud and IDs, you know, that were going to people who shouldn't have them before. These were essential improvements, and they had to happen sometime. And there have been some problems here and there getting it done. But Bureau of Motor Vehicles, with a long way to go, is under better control than it has been. We're measuring things like wait times now, and we watch them and try to bring them down. We know which branches are good and which aren't. And I would encourage the public to take advantage of the website. You can identify both the branches, and you can go to anyone you want, and the days on which you are likely to get the fastest possible service. Thank you very much.